Jose El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go any place, every place, to take you beyond and through the looking glass and go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, because we ain't going to waste your time here. At least we'll try not to. Welcome to our program, and again, we're here every night. Saturday nights, do a local show here. For the Los Angeles market, but we are available at philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video of our show and a five-day video archive is available on our website. So if you've missed seeing how we perform our show, you can go and watch it there. You can also access thousands of hours of archived radio shows, full radio shows, all the way back to every radio show, as a matter of fact, all the way back to 1999. We have select character bits that you can listen to. We are going to be making available for download a number of our best of CDs. That is, you will be able to go and download the individual cuts as opposed to just buying the CD itself. So those of you that are interested in the material, but not necessarily buying the CD because you don't really collect all the artwork and things like that, you can do that. Just a lot of things in store for you as we move into the new year, 2012, at philhendryshow.com. And our merchandise store is where you can shop for Christmas. And we do have the new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. These babies are selling out. We've already sold out of our larges, and we've reordered, so don't worry about it. But it's a pretty hot little item. The Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, it's black. It's got the Ted's of Beverly Hills blue and white logo on the front. And we want to put our meat in your mouth on the back. And you should go with life, should go through life, I should say, with some kind of meaningful purpose, some sort of slogan that is yours. And that's about as good as we can offer you at this time. So check it out there on our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where we are right now, streaming our show live. What is that in the background there, bud?
It's the chair.
It is the chair. Let me get that out of there. It's interrupting my groovy-ass green screen experience. All right. You know, I'm so intrigued by the story. We just did 2 hours with Ted Bell on horse meat, but if you'd like to know more about it, I will just once again recommend the article in Time Magazine. It came out today, November the 30th, Time Magazine, Horse Meat May Become Available in the United States. I saw a great deal of reaction to it on Twitter, and it wasn't good. People were outraged. And they were outraged on the basis of what a couple of the people were saying, you know.
Yeah, well, they're talking about it's like somebody's pet, you know. And you make it legal to eat a pet.
Well, what difference? I mean, if it's your pet, you're not going to eat no pet. But if a person want to eat it.
Well, I think Bud probably has the logical argument. It's a very interesting, it's interesting, isn't it? We extend protection to things in our world. We extend protection to forests. We extend protection to... You know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
I mean, we do things that we value. For instance, we protect certain parts of nature, green space, open space, forests, national park. We protect parts of nature that are valuable to us. Valuable because they restore our soul. They invigorate our spirit. It's a place for us to relax and to renew ourselves. And so why wouldn't we extend the same protection to animals that provide us with this kind of companionship, animals that we've come to love, animals that we have domesticated over thousands of years? These are animals. They're not wild animals. These are animals that have become a part of the human family, if you will, because they are domesticated. So they...
What I mean domesticated?
Yeah, does it mean they're born trained?
Yeah, it sort of means they're born... What domestication means, as opposed to training... Those are two different things. You can train an animal. You can train any wild animal. You've seen it happen. We've trained lions and we've trained tigers. But those are not domesticated. That means that those animals have not been brought along by human beings through generations of breeding and generations of exposure to human beings and generations of experiencing human beings as a part of their extended pack, if you will, or their hunting group. Dogs, they say, are pack animals. Cats are singular predatory animals. But both of those animals have been domesticated. And I'll give you an example of what that means. They now believe that puppies and kittens, when they're born, immediately recognize human beings as a familiar creature, as a part of their experience of life. So that's something that a kitten and a puppy, first born, they experience that. Now, that is not something that a wild animal is going to experience. A wild animal will see a human being immediately as some kind of an enemy, or some kind of a creature that they need to be wary of, or at least it's a creature that's not, has nothing whatsoever to do with their experience of themselves or the other animals around them. So with a dog and a cat,
you just stay like a cat and see what that person looks like.
Cats recognize the human, yes. Dogs recognize humans from the time they're born. They recognize humans as a normal part of their life. So that's domestication. Horses were domesticated 5,000 years ago. And with the domestication of the horse came the expansion of the human family on this planet. So while humans on foot traversed the globe and eventually wound up in all kinds of places, once we domesticated the horse, there was an explosion of human migration and travel. Europeans began to regularly travel to Asia and back again, and vice versa. Although, I don't know, do you know of any Asians that came to Europe?
Yeah.
Who?
Well, what about Charlie Chan?
What do you mean, Charlie Chan?
You're talking about Charlie Chan. You're talking about way back.
Well, I don't know. You said if there are any
Asians. Get out of here with Charlie Chan. I'm talking about way back. Do you know any Asians that came to Europe? Yeah, Charlie Chan. Boy, bud, talk about a cultural reference that nobody's going to get.
Well, I just seen it on TV the other day. You were watching it.
That's true, I was. So anyway, make a long story short, that's where that's at. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. World-famous Phil Henry Show presenting. We were going to have Larry Grover on. In fact, we are going to have Larry on for a much more condensed segment coming up here in just a few minutes. And Larry's going to talk to us about Herman Cain and what that guy is going through. And I think you'll find it very edifying because Larry has a singularly, he doesn't have a unique point of view so much as he has a, his view of what Herman Cain is living is not unique, but his view of what we all ought to do about it probably is. Question for justices. If the Privacy Act is violated, when is the government liable? The Supreme Court heard arguments today in a case, I should say yesterday, in a case brought by a pilot whose HIV status was disclosed in violation of a federal law that protects private information. The case involved, as a lower court judge put it, the collision of a good many laudable public policies, including ones to ensure the safety of the nation's airways, to root out waste, fraud, and abuse in the Social Security system, and to secure personal privacy of citizens. All of these things collided. By the time the case reached the Supreme Court, though, it had boiled down to a single issue. What did Congress mean when it said people could sue for the actual damages suffered as a consequence of violations of the Privacy Act of 1974? Now, you understand there's a Privacy Act, but what does that Privacy Act mean if you have AIDS and people need to know that there's a possibility of just a remote possible, remote possibility of infection, however remote? I mean, we do see our emergency responders wearing gloves, as we see police officers wearing gloves. We even see trainers working basketball, football, hockey games wearing rubber gloves. Dentists. So this is an acknowledgement that we want to protect ourselves from infection, and we want to protect other people from being infected. So while that's going on, the need to know, well, exactly what kind of risk am I taking here? There's also the privacy of that individual. Who gets to know that I have I'm HIV positive? These are tough questions. This is why we have a Supreme Court. And this is why I don't have any patience at all. I don't have any patience with people who are continually finding fault with Supreme Court decisions, saying that the Supreme Court got it wrong when they themselves are thinking of it only in terms of politics. They're not thinking of it in terms of the Constitution. And we got enough examples of justices. Well, anyway.
Yeah, who cares, man?
I care, bud, okay?
Yeah, but boring.
Yeah, it's boring. Move on.
Oh, well, get a load of you guys.
Yeah, just move on, man.
Jesus. All right, I'll move on, okay?
Yeah, move on.
Great, I'm moving on. Here, you read it.
What's the matter?
You read it. You guys want me to move on? You read it.
Where are you going?
Shut up.
Did he leave?
Yeah.
No, we're just kidding, Phil.
I don't care.
No.
Don't read it, man.
I don't have to read it. He
said for you to read it.
The Supreme Court. What do I do?
Read it, man.
The Supreme Court of America. Then they said that. That Mr. Cooper.
Give me that, man. The senator, the plaintiff, Stanmore Cooper, private pilot, he conceded that he had not lost any money because one government agency told another that he was infected with HIV. But he said the disclosure had caused him acute emotional distress, including sleeplessness, loss of appetite, physical tension, agitation, isolation from friend and anxiety.
Yeah, what's that mean?
It means he didn't lose nothing. He's trying to, I don't think he's got a case.
He didn't lose no money.
Right.
What should we do?
We're going to be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll do an iron swine or something.
Yeah.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Give Henry Show.
Big baby.
I'm not a baby. You guys are giving me crap.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Time now on a Phil Henry Show. It's time for Iron Swine.
Excuse me. Iron Swine.
Let me do it. Iron Swine is going to go to Ted of Beverly Hills. They are serving a horse sandwich over there.
Yeah. They're not allowed to serve no horse until, I guess, if it's legal, it's probably not legal yet. So, Iron Swine. He's gonna go over and tell Ted you can't sell no horse.
Yeah. He was selling a horse kebab sandwich.
Yeah.
So Iron Swine's gonna go over there now.
You don't have to make the sound of the car.
What? Anyway, we gotta get some sound effects in this show. Okay. Iron Swine pulling up to go to Ted of Beverly Hills because he heard that Ted of Beverly Hills was selling a horse sandwich, and he has to find out if that's true or not. And one of the ways that he has to find out if it's true or not is if he pulls up, okay, he pulls up there in front of Iron Swine restaurant, and he hears the following song.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
Yeah, there it is.
Hey, Iron Swine, I think you're selling horse.
Horse, of course.
Yeah, you are. He's selling a horse sandwich.
Of course, that is, of course, unless the horse is...
Hey, are you Ted of Beverly Hills?
Yeah, I'm Ted of Beverly Hills. What's the matter?
I heard you were selling a horse sandwich, ma'am.
What's it to you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to take your horse meat, unless, of course, you're selling it with horseradish.
Yeah, we got some.
Okay, in that case, it's legal.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it, man.
Iron Swine.
Iron Swine. So, Ted of Beverly Hills, he's all right. He was selling with a horseradish.
Oh.
Yeah, you're laughing at it, so you must think it's funny.
It is. It's very funny, man. Irish. All right. What are you playing number 9 Dream for?
I don't mean to do it. Here.
Hello. I'm Mr. Ed.
Iron Swine.
With horseradish.
Horse is a horse.
I get it already with horseradish. You realize I got my ass chewed out by Ted of Beverly Hills. Sounds like he's a hairdresser.
Why?
See, I don't know why. It just sounds like Ted of Beverly Hills sounds like he's a hairdresser.
I don't understand. What's that mean, a hairdresser?
Will you turn that off? For some reason, I don't know why it is, if you say Ted's of Beverly Hills, it sounds like a steakhouse, which is what it is.
Yeah.
But if you say Ted of Beverly Hills, he sounds like he's a hairdresser.
You said he sounds gay.
No, I didn't say he sounds gay. No, I didn't. I just said, for some reason, hairdressers, I don't know why, but when they name their place, it's like Phil of...
I'm sure you're going to be a hairdresser.
Yeah, man. So you're a bald head, man. You can't be a hairdresser.
Will you listen to me? I'm saying Phil of El Pacifico. What if I said Phil's of El Pacifico?
Be a steakhouse.
Okay. But if I say Phil of El Pacifico...
Sound like you're Zorro or something.
Yeah, it sounds like you're Zorro.
Sounds like I'm Zorro? What? What are you guys high?
You're the one that's high. You're talking about Phil of... It sounds like you wear a cape.
I'll talk to you wear a cape.
If I call myself Phil of El Pacifico, I sound like I wear a cape.
Yeah.
And I sound like I'm Zorro.
Yeah.
But I don't sound like I'm a hairdresser.
No.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't even know why I brought that up, folks. It's, for some reason, when the young people here said Ted of Beverly Hills, I thought, wow, that sounds like a hairdresser to me. Don't let Ted know that I said that, although I'm sure somewhere along the line he's going to find out. I don't know whether this bothered you. It didn't bother me. In fact, I didn't know anything about it until today, but it happened last Christmas. Guess what it was called? The Christmas Blast. Did you know about that?
Uh-uh.
Well, a team of scientists have offered an explanation for the mysterious Christmas Blast. That's right. NASA officials say the space blast was caused by a faraway supernova or an unusual collision between a neutron star and a comet. That sounds like one holy hell of a big explosion, doesn't it? The Christmas sky last year, now, I did not notice this, and I'm sorry that I didn't. I don't even know if you could see it in California. I don't know where you could see it. I'm sure the article will tell us here, but the Christmas sky last year was lit up by an extraordinarily powerful and mysteriously long-lasting explosion in space that officials at NASA now suggest was a comet smacking into a dense star or some kind of a peculiar supernova death. However, they noted that the exact cause of the burst does remain uncertain. They are still trying to figure this out. Common to both scenarios is the presence of a neutron star, the crushed core that forms when a star many times the sun's mass explodes. When the star's fuel is exhausted, it collapses under its own weight, compressing its core so much that about 500,000 times Earth's mass is squeezed into a sphere no larger than a city. Now get a load of that. That's a black hole. Okay? It is compressed, its gravity is collapsing in on itself so much that about 500,000 times the Earth's mass, 500,000 times the mass of the Earth, 500,000 Earths, are squeezed into a space no larger than a city. Now, that's something we can't even comprehend. But it is so dense that it becomes a black hole.
They didn't say it's a black hole, though.
No, they didn't. They didn't. You're right. But eventually, that's what it's going to be. A number of NASA officials say that a comet smashing into the neutron star may be responsible for the odd burst, while another team of scientists suggested that a rare supernova is to blame, and that is a star flaming out. The first team of scientists suggests that two stars became wrapped in a common envelope of gas before the neutron star... This is all theory, by the way, folks. You know, what do we know? We're puny, tiny, little, itsy-bitsy humans standing here on this rock in space, staring out, and we're going, it could be a big gas ball. We don't know what we're talking about. I mean, if we actually saw half of the stuff that we imagine, we'd wet our pants, you know.
If I seen one of them, I'd wet my pants.
You and me both. I'm sure. Well, I think it was wrapped in a common envelope of gas. If I saw something like that, I'd cry. I'd break down and cry and run away. Try to run away, but there's nowhere to run. The end result of the merger was common envelope of gas before the neutron star merged with the giant's core just after 5 orbits, or about 18 months. The end result of the merger was the birth of a black hole and the production of oppositely directed jets of particles moving at near the speed of light, followed by a weak supernova. What are you talking about? Now, here's why we saw it. They say that it was only about 10,000 light years away from Earth. And that's a relatively short distance. I mean, if you think about 10,000 light years, it's unbelievable, but it is a relatively short distance. The scenario requires the breakup of it. Well, we'll get back into this when we come back. I didn't even know there was a Christmas burst. Did you guys see this?
I didn't see it, and you didn't even hear nothing about it.
We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Woo.
Phil Hendry. Horse kebab. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, I'm looking at this now. This so-called Christmas burst, this is something that only the science guys know.
Well, all that bunch of geeks?
Well, I wouldn't call them geeks, but yeah. In other words, I don't think it was anything anybody, normal human beings like us saw. Apparently, it was and has been named a pair of reports. These two reports on what it could be come as the Christmas burst, also known as GRB-101225A. Was discovered in the constellation Andromeda by Swift's Burst Alert Telescope on Christmas Day 2010. Swift's Burst Alert. There are guys that are paying attention to things that I don't even know exist, man. I mean, that's some major science there. These cats could tell me anything and I'd believe it, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, the things that they know are very... First of all, the things they know are far more important than the stuff that I know, which...
Well, what do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean, man? I mean, how... The fact that I know Eddie Cochran comes from Minnesota ain't nothing compared to these guys who know all about the Christmas burst, you know?
Yeah, but Eddie Cochran is more interesting.
You think so? Not to me it ain't, man. Not if some freaking comet's heading for Earth.
You think that's going to happen?
I don't know. Anyway, these guys are the Swift Burst Alert Telescope. What the hell is that? It sounds like something you get on the back of a cereal box.
You could. I'd go get one, but apparently you can't. I think that's just wishful thinking on your part on account of that.
Well, no kidding, bud. You think? Swift's Burst Alert Telescope on Christmas Day 2010 discovered the GRB-101225A, otherwise known as the Christmas Burst. What was it? Oh, I don't know. Just a comet slamming into a black hole. God! Imagine if you were in a spaceship anywhere near that and you're looking at that.
No, all guys on Star Trek, that's the type of thing that they see.
Really? I don't know, man, if what Star Trek has to say is in our future. I don't know if any of that stuff is in our future, but I will tell you this. If stuff like this does exist, comets slamming into black holes, Jack, I don't want to be anywhere near that. The only thing I want to know is, you know, show me the Swift Burst Telescope I looked through. The gamma ray emission lasted at least 28 minutes, which is unusually long. Follow-up observations of the bursts... How do we know that wasn't a new universe being born?
What? What are you talking about?
How do we know that that wasn't some new universe being born? We don't know what that was.
They just said there was some kind of a gamma ray or something.
They don't know, bud. It's all theory. The gamma ray emission... They do know it's gamma rays because I guess they can... They can definitely ascertain that there are gamma rays because they have a certain place on the light spectrum. Whatever I'm saying there, it has something to the scientists know what I'm talking about. The gamma ray emission lasted at least 28 minutes, which is unusually long. Follow-up observation of the burst's afterglow by the Hubble Hubble Space Telescope and ground-based observatories.
Yeah, but the Hubble telescope is busted.
Yeah, I thought that thing was busted. It doesn't look good.
What do you mean it doesn't look good? They fixed it.
Oh.
Anyway, afterglow by the Hubble Space Telescope and ground-based observatories were unable to determine the object's distance. Gamma ray bursts, or GRBs, are high-energy releases that often come from stars in their death throes. Mm-mm-mm. Papers describing both interpretations appear in the December 1st issue of the journal Nature. Yeah, we'll be running out and getting that one. I wouldn't understand one word of it. I like reading about science, though. You know?
Do you understand what you're reading about?
I mean, not really. I understand what they're getting at. I don't understand what they're saying. But I like reading about space and science because that's a mind blower out there, man. There is, you know, if you think about space, people don't do this because it seems silly. To us here on Earth, anybody that dreams or imagines about space is just wasting their time. And probably they're right. It's probably a big waste of time. I mean, look, it ain't going to happen for a long time, man, that we're going to be getting off this planet.
What do you mean? I mean, they're going to be they'll be having rocket ships that'll go, like, on a Mars mission or something.
Bud, think about it, dude. I mean, we sure, yeah, okay, we'll land on Mars. We may even land on Mars in my lifetime. Before I croak, we may even have a mission. You figure if Phil Henry's got another 20 years on this planet, we may actually have a manned mission to Mars. But that's a long, long way, man, from colonizing a planet. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen if we have to colonize. First of all, I don't think we're going to be colonizing planets per se. Why? You know?
On account it's going to get too crowded. Did you see Soylent Green? God, I got to go through this with you all the time.
Did I see Soylent Green? Are you trying to tell me that you think that that's in the future?
But what do you think, man? I mean, the whole reason why we're going to go to another planet is because we're running out of space.
We're not running out of space. According to the movies, we're running out of space. We got more space than we know what to do with, to be honest with you. We got 5 billion people on this planet, and you and I can go out and walk for days. Walk for days and not see another human being.
What?
I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now, we got 5 billion people on this planet, probably more. What do we got? 7 billion people on this planet. And we can go out there and walk for days and days and days and not see another human being.
What are you talking about?
Up in Canada? Out in the desert? The American desert.
But part of the desert, you got to see somebody.
No, you're not. I could walk through, we could walk from Texas through, you know, like western Texas, through New Mexico. We could keep on walking, never see a human being.
You probably see the humans have been there.
Well, what does that mean? What does that mean, see that humans have been there?
There have been habitation and everything.
Who cares, man? I'm talking about seeing another person. What do you mean humans have been there?
See, like a rusted out car or something.
Whatever. I remember one time, if you ever, you know, flown internationally, you know, I was flying back from Europe once, and I look out the window, and we're coming in from England, and we're coming in over North America, and I look out the window, and it was way back in the day when you could smoke. So what was I was standing up there, and I was jaw-jacking with a stewardess, having a cigarette, and I look out the window, and we're over northern Canada. Have you ever taken a look out the window? If there isn't a human being, I'm telling you right now, you can look down there, you ain't, there's nothing there.
Yeah, well, they gotta have like a railroad and stuff on account of the guys that go up there and they trap for mink fur and stuff.
Yeah, what about the trappers?
What do you mean, what about the trappers? What does that got to do with anything?
They're up there trapping.
They may be up there trapping. I don't know, they're not necessarily. You think the whole northern part of Canada is crawling with trappers? Are you nuts?
What was that guy was telling you one time? He did a radio show for trappers.
He didn't do a radio show for trappers. I was talking to a guy, and I was talking to this guy in Atlanta. And I was down there for Don Anthony's morning show boot camp. And we're sitting there one night, and we're having a couple of pops. And I'm talking to all these morning shows are there. And Don had invited me to come down there and talk, give a talk, you know, not a speech, but just do a rap to some of these morning shows. So anyway, after this thing, we're sitting, we're having a few drinks. And this guy is from San Francisco. And he says to me, oh, yeah, you know, when I started out, I said, where'd you start out? He says, I started out in Canada. I said, yeah, whereabouts? He says, well, I was at a little small station like in northern Saskatchewan or something like that.
Yeah, that's it, Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan is where they are.
No, it ain't. Just hold on. No, it ain't Saskatchewan.
Well, but that's where they trap.
No, man, it's not where they trap. Shut up for a minute. Because the guy's telling me he's at a radio station in northern Saskatchewan. And I said, really? He says, yeah. He said it was pretty trippy. He said there was a part of the year where we did our trapper, what did he call it? He called it our trapper calls or something like that. I said, what the hell is that? He said our radio station and other radio stations like ours was the only communication these trappers had with their homes. So I guess they couldn't use two-way radios or something. You know, because they were so far away, or I don't know what it was.
You know, but they can't use like a walkie-talkie. What about a cell phone?
Yeah.
Cell phone? They didn't have cell phones back then, man. You know? So what they did is these guys on these radio stations, and these are commercial radio stations. I mean, they're just, you know, they're playing music and they're playing, you know, commercials and they're, you know, they're doing their radio thing. But at a certain time of the day, they would say, okay, it's time now for our trapper calls. And Bill Smith, your wife just had a baby. And
get out of here. Are you serious?
Yes, I swear to God. I swear to Bill Smith of Busted Whistle Northern Moose Jaw, whatever the hell they're from. Your wife just had a baby, and your sister, Earlene, she ran off with that redneck. And I don't know what they're saying, you know, but they're giving these announcements. They're saying, hey, Bill, your wife says she loves you, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm talking about stuff from their families?
Yeah, stuff from their families. And I said, no kidding. He goes, yeah. He says that we did this. Now, it seems to me the guy was telling me they did this for a few months out of the year when the trappers were up north. And I don't know, but it seems to me that these trappers were up there in the dead of winter or something. I mean, just the most brutal time you could possibly be up there trapping, you know.
Yeah, but what about the baby seals?
Well, now that's a whole other thing. See, the Phil Henry Show, we are opposed to the killing of baby seals. We support Friends of Seals. And that's just all there is to it. See, you guys know me. I'm not some touchy-feely animal activist, but there's certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong in my book. And the baby seals, you can't go clubbing them around, okay?
Yeah, that's probably what them trappers is doing.
I don't know, bud. These guys are trapping whatever they're trapping. I don't even want to, I'm not talking about that. So, there you go. And,
So this guy said, What's some of the messages they say?
Well, I mean, like, he remembers one time having to tell, you know, saying, hey, you know, Bill, your wife just had a baby, you know. I mean, she just had the baby, and he said another one was, you know, stuff like, you know, your kid, you know, your daughter, Susie, and your son, they love you, and we had puppies, and whatever. But there would be things like the insurance, you know, the insurance payment is due. There'd be some heavy things, you know. So it wasn't just a social call. It was, these were vital messages. You know, come home. You know, we have an illness.
Really?
Yeah. You know, you have to come home. Becky Sue is,
Becky Sue's got leprosy?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, bud. Very funny. But, you know, so come on home. So, yeah, stuff like that. And, that's what they did, man. I mean, how the hell do we get into trapping? Oh, I was talking about places where there are no human beings at all, man.
Well, you just said these guys up there trapping.
Yeah, but they're not. There's not billions of them up there spread out all over the north of Canada. I'm telling you, you look down at northern Canada, and there ain't a soul for thousands of miles, man. All it is forest. And then I was watching out the window, and I remember thinking, I'm going to keep watching until I see some sign of that humans have been there, right?
What'd you see?
I finally saw what looked like a railroad track. I finally saw this little thin thing going, and it just kept going and going and going and going and going, you know, and nothing, man. I mean, are you nuts? You've flown over the desert here, and you'd swear to God, there's nothing down there. There's no people down there. So it's going to be a long time, in my opinion, before I don't think we'll ever run out of space. I think that the human being, the humans, how self-aware we are now, either we're going to have a major war, which is what all of the doomsday predictors always love to tell you about. But I think it'll be more like this. I think we're going to come to some agreement with ourselves as to how to regulate population, you know. You know, the human race, folks, we keep talking about we're going to kill ourselves in a war. We've seen a lot of war. The human race has seen lots and lots and lots of war. And we've seen so much war that we've gotten to the point now where we do have a nuclear device. And the only time it's ever been used was 60 plus years ago, at the end of a war against very, very evil forces in the world. It was used by our country, thank God, because in my opinion, if ever a country should use the nuclear weapon responsibly and did, it was the United States. And you'll notice, as evil as we are and as bad as we are and as terrible as we are that everybody tells us we are, that's the last time we launched a nuclear weapon. And it hasn't been used since in any way, shape, or form, not even by terrorists. It hasn't been used by the bad commies. It hasn't been used by any Nazis. It hasn't been used by us. It hasn't been used by them. It hasn't been used by you. And it hasn't been used by me.
Yeah, but someday they'll use it.
Yeah, whoever they are. All right, we'll take a break. The world famous Phil Henry Show. So we got that figured out, man. We can live on this planet forever and ever. There's a lot of trappers up in Canada, so they got plenty of space. And oh yeah, a comet slammed into a black hole, if you'll pardon the expression. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show in our final segment coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Woohoo!
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and as we conclude our show tonight, I thought this would be a very, very interesting bit of information for you guys. What do you think was the single most searched thing on Yahoo in 2011? Now, there are a number of things that we could choose from. There are quite a few big events that happened in 2011. There were natural disasters, political upheaval, celebrities. What do you think the most searched term on Yahoo was in 2011? The iPhone. That's right. The Yahoo Year in Review list, now in its 10th year, has only once before had a tech gadget come in at number one, and that happened in the first year of the review when Sony's PlayStation 2 topped the chart. Subsequent years have seen Britney Spears. Well, she's kind of a tech gadget.
Yeah, I definitely play with the knobs.
All right, shut up. Shut up. Anyway, subsequent years have seen Britney Spears come in first. She actually landed the top spot every year from 2005 to 2008. That's interesting.
What about that?
I don't know. Britney Spears. I remember when Britney Spears first hit the headlines, and that was in the late 90s, and it at my house, because we had little 10, 11, and 12-year-old boys at the time. And that was all they thought of. And if you want to talk about having a poster on the ceiling, you got it.
Are you kidding me?
I ain't kidding you at all. They had her poster on the ceiling. anyway.
You take it down?
No, I didn't take it down. Anyway, Britney Spears. Michael Jackson took the top spot in 2009 and last year. And so on. Microsoft, but the top topics that were searched, wait a minute, we got the wrong thing here. The top topics that were searched were not celebrities, and they had nothing to do with all these other things. It was the iPhone. That was the number one term. It was the most searched in 2011. And of course, it's the most searched because I have an iPhone, and a great many people have iPhones, and I love my iPhone. There's no question. I love it. It's my little internet. I get an iPad, but I'm so lazy, and frankly, you know, I just don't want to stand there in the Apple Store. Excuse me for saying this. I don't want to stand there in the Apple Store with a bunch of dorks. You know,
man, you shouldn't say that, man. People are gonna,
yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, I just
you don't understand. People love their Apple products.
Oh, like I don't understand that? Of course I understand that. Okay, I don't want to stand around anyway.
Do I stand around? I got good service there.
Yes, they do have good service. You're right. Anyway, I'm going to finally get my 4. And if you're watching us on Phil TV in HD right now, I am showing you on the camera there my iPhone. And I do. I love this. This is my little internet access. I have my Kindle on this thing. I mean, if I actually, you know, would man up and buy an iPad.
Yeah, you have an iPad, you don't look like a dork reading a book on a phone.
What do you mean look like a dork reading a book on a phone? Let me ask you a question. Why has Kindle got an app for an iPhone?
Because people want it.
Oh, people want it. People want it. So I guess I'm not the only dork reading a book on the iPhone.
What one are you reading?
I told you, I'm reading this Sociopath Next Door. Here, I'll show you. And it's fantastic. It's a great book. Dr. Stout wrote this book. I told you guys about this. There's my little Kindle app. And the only problem I got with Dr. Stout's book is she's, you know, very typically liberal academician. she's got to go on and on about how, yes, killing is so foreign to the human experience. Why, in the studies done by Dr. Meacham, you know, whatever. And she conveniently ignores some of the stuff. That's fine. I get it. What I'm more interested in reading about are these case studies she has on sociopaths. So that's fun. But my iPhone, I got to get updated, man, to the 5 or to the 4, because that's what everybody's doing. And
yeah, but all you got to do is get it on a iTunes.
No, I can't, man.
Yeah, you can. You can update some of the apps you want for 4.
I understand that, man. I'm not gonna. What are you talking about? I'm gonna get a 4. You saying I gotta get a? Sorry, folks. Now we're really talking geek.
I'm saying you don't have to get a new phone. You can get it upgraded to a 4.
No bullcrap. You got to get a new phone. All right. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Phil Henry, Dan Northcraft, and Fred Scotty. And we're online at philhenryshow.com each and every night, 10 to 1 here, Monday through Friday, and on Saturday nights locally in Los Angeles at KFI. And don't forget to get a backstage pass and be a part of our extended family on philhenryshow.com. What else is happening? Friday we won't be here because we're shooting an episode of Modern Family. I'll be a part and very, very proud to be a part of the cast of Modern Family for a couple of days this week. And then we're back at it, brother. Until then, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.